From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Monday, August 26th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
You're yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Monday, let's do the Monday march back to work and get it over with. Shoulders back, stiff backbone, smile on your face and a prayer on your lips, and everything should be okay. Just take my word for it, all right? Let's get things officially started with...
The Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, a true friend reaches for your hand and touches your heart. Oh, ain't that the truth? A true friend walks in when the world walks out.
Good man.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, I know.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Excited.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Oh, you do.
You might be quizzed.
See? Yeah. We're all dreading that big quiz, if and when it ever happens. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1920, the 19th Amendment to the United States Constitution took effect, giving women the right to vote. Good thing, too, because, you know, without it, we wouldn't have the League of Women Voters, right? And it was on this day in 1977, the Charter of the French Language was adopted by the National Assembly of Quebec, basically making French the official language of Quebec. Oh, I've always said it's a great idea. You take a big country, a good, powerful country, and you divide it by language. It's Canadians. Jeez. French always confuses me, too, because it sounds like the person speaking it is ODing on blue cheese. Oui, monsieur. Monsieur, monsieur. Monsieur. Poor soul.
I'd like to apologize to the entire nation of Canada.
Over the weekend, a new book came to my attention, thanks to Glenn Beck. He did an interview last week, and I heard the replay of it over the weekend. What was it? I guess yesterday morning. And the interview he was doing was with an author and a journalist by the name of Megan Basham. Now, Megan works for the Daily Wire, and she just published a new book. It hit the shelves on the 30th of July, and it's titled Shepherds for Sale. And in this book, she documents how progressive power brokers, from George Soros to the founder of eBay to former members of the Obama administration, have set out to change the American church. And their goal is to co-opt evangelicals for political purposes. For instance, in the book, she exposes the left-wing billionaires, foundations, and think tanks, often referred to as NGOs, non-government organizations, that deliberately target Christian media, universities, megachurches, nonprofits, and even entire denominations. The celebrity megachurch pastor who secretly encouraged a group of pastors to change their views on sexuality is also written about in the book. The revered Presbyterian theologian who backed a congregation rebelling against his own denomination. These are just a couple of glimpses into the compromises and astroturf campaigns that Basham uncovers. You've got several evangelical leaders who are pushing their members to whisper about sexual sins, reconsider the importance of abortion, lament the effects of climate change, and repent of perpetrating systemic racism. In other words, hijacking the church from the scripture. And in exchange for towing a left-wing line, many of those church leaders and institutions have received cash. And if not cash, maybe career jumps, prestige and praise, or a combination of all of the above. So Megan Basham brings the receipts and names, which is just outstanding. That is what a book like this should do. Expose the corruption. It's a very rigorously exposed tome, Shepherds for Sale. It's a warning of what happens when the church trusts the world's wisdom instead of scripture. And this is happening denomination after denomination after denomination. They are getting away from the scriptures and getting into more worldly things. I still can't believe that this pope that the Catholic Church has right now, this guy is such an unabashed leftist. And he's the leader of the Catholic Church. Now, we all know that the Catholic Church has an awful lot of skeletons in the closet. Let's put it that way. But historically speaking, no single organization in the entire world has done more for charitable organizations or for charity, running charitable organizations on their own, than the Catholic Church. Now, I was raised Lutheran, which is Catholic light. It's like being a Catholic, only you don't have purgatory or bingo. And I kind of drifted away from the Lutheran Church because they've gotten in bed with these organizations bringing in illegal aliens. And I'm sorry, I have my principles, and I have a few principles, and the few that I have are pretty deeply embedded within my being, okay? I won't back off, and that's one area right there, illegal immigration. That's where I put my foot down. My grandparents came to this country legally. You know, all of those Indian neighbors I had when I lived in Sugar Land, they came in legally. And I asked one of my friends, Paul Patel, I asked him one time, I said, how much did it cost you to immigrate to the United States? And when he told me the thousands and thousands of dollars, it's not a one-time payment. You got to pay for this thing. Then when that passes, then you got to pay for this pile of paperwork over here. And when that gets all approved, then you have to pay this to set up a date for your citizenship oath. And I think the figure he quoted me, and this was 20 years ago when I spoke with him, at least 20 years ago, because I was still a new resident of that neighborhood at the time. And I moved in there in 2002, and he said it was well over $4,000. These are legal immigrants, the kind of money they have to pay to become citizens and come in legally. And when you see what the Biden administration's been doing, and the Biden administration's been playing it the way the Democrats and the left always does, they work with churches. In other words, gullible organizations. And they do this to undermine the very fabric of our Constitution and our country, our culture as well. You know, and I've always been a champion of the Judeo-Christian culture. Well, don't you think that organizations run by the likes of a George Soros or a Bill Gates, and Bill Gates was also mentioned in this book, but don't you think that organizations like this are smart enough to understand that if they're going to be successful in wrestling away the American population and the American culture, to wrestle us away from the Judeo-Christian culture, you attack that culture? Look at all the anti-Semitism going on now in this country. And then you have these organizations like the Tides Foundation, Media Matters, the Apollo Project, all funded by George Soros. And what are they doing? They're working with Christian churches all across the country to bring in more illegal aliens. See, our enemy is not China. It's not Russia. It's not North Korea. It's not Iran. Yeah, they're a pain in the ass. But they're not really our enemies. The real enemy in this country is in this country. They're here now. Read about them in Shepherds for Sale by Megan Basham. First of all, I would like to remind you that from the very beginning, when RFK Jr. stepped into the political ring for this political season or this presidential election season, I said, yeah, I like the guy. He's a very likable guy. And he is. And I really appreciate his honesty and his stick-to-itiveness when it came to this thing about the vaccines and all the misinformation and the fraud that was being perpetrated by the medical industry. I'm not going to call it the medical community. I'm going to call it the medical industry because that's what it is. And I'm not talking about big pharma, although that's a big part of it. I'm talking about the rank and file doctors at these huge hospitals who were censoring and firing people for speaking honestly against these vaccines that were being trotted out for COVID-19. And, you know, it's funny, all this outrage that we were expressing a year and a half ago about these strange deaths in the wake of vaccinations with the COVID-19 serums. All of that is just kind of dissolved. What happened to all these people of all ages, too, I might add, who had these god-awful blood clots? How about that 17-year-old football player who had 6 feet of blood clots removed from his legs? He will never be able to play football again. All of a sudden, these little anecdotal situations have dissolved. They've evaporated. We're not hearing about them anymore. What happened there? Well, it's guys like RFK Jr. who are keeping that subject matter alive as best they can. Well, of course, you know, the big news late last week was he suspended his presidential campaign and he's endorsing Donald Trump. I had a feeling he would. You know what this is symptomatic of? This is symptomatic of what the Democrat Party really is. See, the Democrat Party, I'm not talking about Democrats. See, when I think of Democrats, I think of people like Harry Truman, JFK. Today's Democrats, nobody in the party is like that. And if they are, they're somebody like RFK, and they're going to end up supporting Donald Trump. But the Democrat Party doesn't want Democrats. They want socialists. They want communists. They want left-wing radicals. And that's why they didn't want RFK. That's why there was no primary. They didn't give RFK a chance to run against Kamala Harris. You see, so this is a true picture of what the Democrat Party is. It's a dangerous party. The Democrat Party is a danger to our nation and our Judeo-Christian culture. Well, RFK just got some good news. He can go ahead with his lawsuit against the Biden administration, and more than likely, he's going to succeed. Federal court made the ruling back on Tuesday. I can't believe we're just getting the news now that RFK Jr. can proceed with a lawsuit against the Biden administration for allegedly censoring social media posts from Kennedy's Children's Health Defense Charity. Now, in a court document, U.S. Court Judge Terry Doughty of Louisiana writes, "The court finds that Kennedy is likely to succeed on his claim that suppression of content posted was caused by actions of government defendants, and there's a substantial risk that he'll suffer similar injury in the near future." So, not an entirely hypothetical question here. Is it possible that we'll finally see accountability in a world of social media censorship? I mean, I wouldn't rule that out. And when you think of the indiscretions that were exacted against us, not just conservatives, but everybody who wanted the truth about COVID-19 and the COVID-19 vaccines, the censorship, anybody and everybody who spoke out, not just against the vaccines, anybody who suggested that, ivermectin works against COVID-19, you were either censored or punished. If you worked in the medical industry, you were fired. Yeah, that nurse here in Houston who was fired, I'm trying to remember what hospital it was, that Methodist hospital. And of course, she was vindicated later, but much later. You know, I'm sure she's like the rest of us. She had bills to pay, maybe a family to raise. I don't know. But I mean, this reminds me of the Middle Ages. Heretic! Heretic! How dare you speak out against the mainstream? And we've proven time and time again that the mainstream is just as wrong as a person can be, as an individual can be, as a group of individuals can be. The mainstream is wrong. They have a political agenda and they push, push, push. And the pushing never stops. And we're the victims, of course. So, let me go ahead and read for you how the New York Post wrote about it. They said the ruling indicates there's evidence to support Kennedy's claim that the government pressured big tech companies like Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to suppress content shared by his charity, the Children's Health Defense, also known as the CHD. Now, the Kennedy versus Biden lawsuit claimed posts expressing CHD's skepticism on the effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccine mandates and lockdowns were specifically targeted as part of a broader effort by the government to combat what it labeled misinformation. And this is what the judge wrote, Judge Doty. The CHD, which was founded by Kennedy, says its mission is ending childhood health epidemics by eliminating toxic exposure, earning a reputation by critics of being anti-vaccine. Here's how Fox wrote about it. I want to give you a balanced look at this. Of course, New York Post is owned by the same organization that owns Fox. They wrote, Judge Terry Doty carefully and clearly analyzed the law and facts and applied the framework from the U.S. Supreme Court's recent decision in Murphy versus Missouri regarding standing. CHD General Counsel Kim Rosenberg said after the ruling, referring to a similar case brought against the government. The court also firmly found in plaintiff's favor that plaintiffs had not waived and indeed had affirmatively raised direct censorship claims in addition to listener claims. So Kennedy's case is going to move to a lower court and the injunction will be reviewed. And I want to point out here that Kennedy mentioned censorship in a part of his speech on Friday. I don't know if you caught that, but censorship's been a major thorn in Kennedy's side. And if you go through the internet, there is, I'll tell you what you do. Go to Russell Brand's YouTube channel, because Russell Brand had been speaking at length with RFK Jr. And Bobby Kennedy says, I like calling him Bobby. He's just a nice guy. You know, he's a nice guy. I don't agree with him as far as his platform as president is concerned. Although the country would not be in peril if he did become our president. He just got some foreign affairs things that I don't agree with, but he's just a nice guy. And his heart's in the right place. And if you go to that Russell Brand channel and you look up that interview that Russell did with him, you can hear him discuss this whole censorship thing in a much deeper vein. You know, it was Benjamin Franklin who wrote, whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freeness of speech. And this display of censorship that we have seen under the Biden administration through the pandemic should really raise the hair on the back of your neck. We've seen censorship meddling with politics again and again, and this episode is a classic example. So hopefully out of this will arise more accountability and transparency in social media news outlets. Matt Taibbi and I'm trying to remember the name of the other guy, the two journalists who exposed the Twitter files right after Elon Musk bought Twitter, their work was just superb. I'm still waiting for these guys to publish books on it. But the expose that that the congressional hearings actually ended up being. I mean, first it was an inquiry, but it was actually an outright expose on the Biden administration and their role in censoring influential voices who were trying only, all they were doing was they were trying to bring some truth to the pandemic, truth to this thing called COVID-19. And remember they were, oh gosh, Anthony Fauci, he should be in jail. Fauci should be in jail for what's left of his life. That bastard. And I mean, he was the guy who tried to discredit that French doctor who found within weeks of the start of the pandemic, this French doctor found that a mixture of hydroxychloroquine and Zithromax, you know, also known as a Z-Pak, a combination of the two, knocked out COVID-19 and did it very quickly. And yet Fauci and the World Health Organization because they were in bed together, did their dead level best to completely discredit this doctor in France. And that doctor should be a worldwide hero. And then, of course, there was the subject of ivermectin. Turned out ivermectin does a pretty good job. It's not as effective as hydroxychloroquine and Zithromax, but it's pretty darn good. And, of course, if they weren't censoring people over it, they were trying to discredit people by saying, ivermectin is horse medicine. It's horse dewormer. Well, yes, it's used for that. But ivermectin was originally a medicine that was put together for humans. But we couldn't allow people to say that. Of all the swing states, and there's a lot of them, more than I care to admit, Michigan is probably the tightest. And its 15 electoral votes also make it one of the most valuable. And this is why a Michigan judge's ruling against Democrats trying to keep Cornel West's name off the ballot as an independent is so important. It's a game changer for us, really. And you look at some of the tweets that have gone out over this. There's from a guy named George. A Michigan judge just issued a ruling against Democrats forcing them to place Cornel West's name on the ballot as an independent. This is a big-time loss for Democrats. West is bound to make many votes or take many votes away from Kamala Harris. And now, who is Cornel West? He's a radical. He's a far left-wing radical. He's so radical that even the radical lefties running the Democrat Party these days aren't left enough for him. So, the Calvin Coolidge Report tweeted, "Just in, Cornel West will remain on the ballot in Michigan as an independent. This comes after a Michigan judge ruled against Democrats who were trying to remove him from the ballot." You see, this was just more of the Democrat Party's game playing. I mean, the Democrats don't have confidence in themselves. I think they do realize they are too far left for most of the country. So this is why they don't have faith in the electoral system here in the United States. They're trying to do away with the Electoral College, which is an absolute must these days. When you have the majority of the country's population concentrated in our big cities, who is going to be the voice for people in rural America? Well, it's got to be the Electoral College. And to understand the Electoral College, just Google it, for Christ's sake. Look up all the information you possibly can on the Electoral College. Not the opinion stuff. I'm talking about the clinical information that's available out there on the World Wide Web on exactly how the Electoral College works and why it's there to begin with. But this ruling from the judge that Cornel West stay on the ballot, this is great news, because I don't know... I really don't know anybody who is a Cornel West fan. And, you know, I mean, the guy is too radical for anybody. How the guy got to be where he is, you know, to get the voice that he's got is just beyond me. But then again, they always say the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Well, yeah, he's about as squeaky as they get. So anyhow, even if West takes just a point or two away from Harris, you've got a tied race, according to the polls, okay? And again, I'd like to caution you, polls are just that, they're polls. This is, you know, it's like shooting a dart in the dark at the dartboard, right? That's all polls are. Because by the time the morning after the election rolls around, you realize how off the polls were. But you mix in the benefit of RFK Jr. now dropping his race and endorsing Trump. I mean, if you're a numbers person, this all adds up. And Michigan is now very much in play to go red this November. Now, when it comes to swing states, I have like an extra minute here. And hopefully I can squeeze this into that minute and not go over time. But when it comes to swing states, Ohio used to be a swing state. And I want to remind you, pardon the redundancy if you're a regular listener, but I want to remind you what happened in 2020. There are 88 counties in Ohio, a former a former swing state. And Ohio's like any other red state. All the cities are blue. All right? But out of 88 counties in 2020, 84 of them in Ohio went for Donald Trump. So can you bring a state like Michigan around from being a swing state with a Democrat governor? Can you bring a state like Michigan around to eventually becoming a red state? Yes, it can be done. Takes a lot of work, takes a lot of dedication. And quite frankly, quite admittedly, the GOP hasn't been doing the groundwork in Michigan that they should and could be doing. The GOP needs to get off its backside and really work Michigan. You can bring them around, believe me. To the comedy corner now, and a newbie, Johnny LaQuasto. This guy is funny.
I appreciate everyone being here tonight. You know, if you're in a relationship, that's great, you know, because we've all been on first dates in our lives. Some of you are with a person who you had an amazing first date with, and it's working out. But most of us have all been on first dates where 5 minutes in, you realize, oh, I'm with the most miserable human being I've ever met in my life. I had one of those. We're on our way to the restaurant one time, right? And I was trying to make small talk. So I was like, well, hey, I have a comedy show this weekend. If we have fun tonight, you can go with me to my comedy show. Word for word, she goes, nah, I don't like comedy. Who says that out loud? What do you... You don't like comedy. You don't like to laugh or feel joy and exuberance or get a little core workout. Ladies, you laugh twice. That's called a kegel. You're welcome. You know? So we all need to laugh to survive, you know? So I knew this wasn't going to work out. So we get to the restaurant. She pops out of the car. I stay put behind the wheel. She looks back at me. Well, what's the matter with you? And I was like, I don't like food. And I drove off. So, you know, had to be done. And I'll leave you guys with this. You know, I talk about being a people person. Even before healthcare, I was around people all the time. I worked in a restaurant for a long time. And I'm not trying to brag, but it was a little place called Chili's. And I loved working at Chili's because every single night I hear the same complaints. Excuse me, my food tastes funny. I'd be like, welcome to Chili's. You ordered a steak for $7.99. That's your fault if you think about it. That's the wrong part of the cow. I'm wearing jeans and a name tag. Let's lower the expectations. And nobody can pronounce anything off a menu at chain restaurants. I've had adults order fajitas. Right now, some of you are thinking, yeah, dude, fajitas, that's how you say it. Fajitas! And I couldn't giggle in front of them. So I had to just play along, like, no problem. We have chicken or steak fajitas. What can I get for you? Just so you know, every order of fajitas, it comes with a side of rice and beans and Rosetta Stone, in case you're interested. Idiot. You're laughing like someone who said fajitas before, and I appreciate that, sir. But without a doubt, my two favorite mispronunciations in restaurant history, they were always coupled up. No one ever said pico de gallo or quesadilla correctly. Without fail, they'd be looking at the menu like, all right, let's see here. Oh, I'm going to get me the chicken quesadilla, okay? But what are onions, tomato? What is cilantro? I don't even know. Oh, and jalapenos are spicy. I don't want those. Okay, let's take off these jalapenos. And I don't really want this pico de gallo. But I'm going to have me the chicken quesadilla. I'm like, I'm going to poison you right now. How about that? I'm gonna poison you with some uncooked polo. And you're gonna go home with a strong case of salmonella. So
that'll do it. Make it a marvelous Monday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
That's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.